How do you do? The man in this story excelled at sports. For the thrill of winning, he did everything from downhill ski racing to whitewater kayaking on the Colorado River, from deep sea scuba diving to parasailing, and he conquered everything he attempted. And yet there was one challenge that baffled him, that he failed to grasp, though he tried. But it gave him the biggest thrill of all when his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
This is the summit, friends. The rooftop of Europe. Breathtaking view, isn't it?
Now, there's nothing like skiing the Alps.
Okay, all right, listen up, everyone. We are at 9,000 feet above sea level. There are no trails to follow until we get to the tree line, 3,000 feet down. It is absolutely essential that we stay as close as possible to one another. If we get spread out, the last person could easily make a wrong turn and wind up miles and miles from us. Please, stay close to the person in front of you and turn precisely where I turn. Getting lost up here can be very risky.
Bringing hope to a troubled world, this is Unshackled. True life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Hope is vital to mankind, especially the homeless. And more than anything else, Pacific Garden Mission offers hope to everyone who enters the old lighthouse. Day and night, hundreds of men, women, and children come through the doors that never close, where the motto is, never give up on them. No matter how hopeless the man or the woman or the situation, pastors and counselors have seen miracles of transformation, souls redeemed from despair, lives reclaimed from failure. And thanks to financial gifts of friends, the mission provides food, fresh clothing, and a safe place to sleep, as well as medical and dental care if needed, and all without charge. But the greatest gift of all is new life, and that's what this program celebrates. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2948 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Ten, 11, 12. Okay, I've counted twice and someone is missing. And nowhere in sight.
Hey, look down there!
Oh no, she made a wrong turn! She's right in a major avalanche chute.
Oh, hey, isn't that the spot where 16 teenagers lost their lives?
Yeah, and we had fresh snow last night.
Oh, she can't climb out of there.
Yeah, I'll have to go after her, Jean-Jacques. Lead the class down to the trees, and I'll meet you at the trail. Listen, everyone, follow this man and stay together, and no shouting.
The man in our story was then a ski instructor in the Swiss Alps, one of many exciting sports he loved. He was born in Paris to a French mother and an American father who met during World War II. He spoke French before he learned English, attended school in both countries, giving him a unique world view. But it was the certainty of something he didn't have that haunted his life. This is the true testimony of Jerry Kaifetz, right now on Unshackled.
French schools were more difficult than American schools, so I always played catch-up in France. My grandmother, who was an educator, taught me the rich heritage of European culture and history as we walked together to historical sites. But I loved my time in the U.S. We lived on the western shore of Lake Champlain in Upper New York. Dad owned a clothing store and encouraged me to follow my Jewish heritage. I didn't because God seemed so distant and austere. My dad had competed in sports during his college years, so I learned to ski and compete in sports also. As a young high schooler, I went scuba diving one day with friends on Lake Champlain. We paired up, and when my partner and I finished our dive, we returned to shore. Another diver returned without his partner, who was in distress. So I swam out to help him.
I'm out of air! I'm exhausted! I need help!
Chappie, drop your weights!
No, man, just pull me in!
It's a half mile to shore! Drop your weights!
Are you crazy? Those weights cost $20!
Let go! Drop them!
Pull me in, Jerry. Just pull me in.
I managed to tow him to shore, where I felt like beating him over the head with the weights, but I was too exhausted. He held them up, saying, $20, man. In high school, I took up wrestling, mainly to keep in shape. My best friend Barney, a Golden Glove boxing champion, also wrestled, and we had to wrestle each other to see who would represent our school in varsity matches.
So, tell me about the wrestling match, Jerry.
Oh, you won't believe it, Dad.
Well, why? What happened?
Well, we finished all three periods with no takedown, and the score was tied.
So what'd the coach do?
Well, he made us go at it again for two more two-minute periods.
Oh, on top of 6 minutes?
Yeah, we were both exhausted.
Well, you probably know each other's moves, too.
Exactly. I was ahead when Barney tied the score again, just as the whistle blew. So we had to go again for two more one-minute periods. We tied again.
That is incredible.
The coach said, we gotta have a winner. Barney wanted to give it to me, but the coach didn't buy that. He gave us 2 minutes of rest and then told us to go for sudden death.
Where the first point wins all.
Yeah. I won. I'm just lucky, I guess. But I sure am beat. While I went off to college after high school, my friend Barney joined the military, where he got in trouble with drugs and ended up killing himself to avoid going to jail. I was devastated by his death, and it caused me to wonder about the real purpose of life and where was God in the whole scheme. Barney had lost his final wrestling match. One summer, our family had a reunion in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. I wanted to go whitewater rafting, but the sky was overcast and no one else wanted to go that day. So I went to the river alone and talked with the guides.
Well, since you're alone, the only thing we can offer is a kayak.
Oh, great.
You know, we've had a lot of snow melt and rain this summer, so the river's higher than usual. That means big rapids.
Well, that's why I'm here.
We can take you upstream if you like. The river's safer up there.
No, I'm looking for adventure. What are my chances of making it through Bad Boy, right side up?
How good are you?
I can handle boats.
If you're real good, your chances are probably just under 50-50.
I had never been alone in a kayak before that day, but I had spent most summers on Dad's boat, and he taught me how to maneuver the waves. So I launched into the river and shot through successfully higher and faster rapids, followed by stretches of calm water. Suddenly, I heard what sounded like a jet plane in the distance. I was approaching the Bad Boy Rapids. The roar became deafening. I tried desperately to get to shore, but it was too late. The river carried me around the sharp bend into the churning torrent of waves coming from two directions. I paddled desperately to keep the kayak headed into the waves of white water towering above me. Somehow, I kept the little boat upright and finally passed beyond the rapids into calmer water. I had survived. This was the late 60s, and our family went through similar turbulence during those years as my parents divorced. Soon, they found other mates and remarried. I was already smoking pot in college when I met the high priest of LSD and took his advice. I turned on, tuned in, and dropped out. Soon, I found myself in the heart of the hippie movement in San Francisco.
Hello?
Dad? It's your wayward son.
Where are you, Jerry?
Still in Haight-Ashbury.
Everything okay?
Oh, everything's groovy. I've met some cool musicians. I even watched them make records in their recording studio.
Uh-huh. You're going back to college?
Oh, no way. I reject the goals of the establishment.
You sound like some of the kids I see on TV protesting the war.
I've been protesting the war too, Dad. Been to jail a couple of times. Just overnight.
I'm sorry to hear that, son.
Why? It's the American way. Fight for what you believe in. I traveled all over the U.S. and made a lot of money selling LSD. After an all-night party in Miami, I flew back to San Francisco, where the FBI arrested me. I had 2 ounces of cocaine on me. Well, what do you think, Counselor?
Well, Jerry, it's your first drug bust, so I think it can get you off I talked to the prosecutor, and he wants to send you to the sheriff's honor camp.
Honor camp?
Yeah, it's in San Mateo.
For how long?
6 months, but I think I can get you off completely.
Well, don't bother. I'll go to the honor camp. At the honor camp, I taught remedial English and math to the inmates. And when I was free again, I quit using drugs and dedicated myself to finding truth. But I had no idea where to look for it. One day, an old hippie friend came to visit.
How you doing, Jerry?
Oh, fine. Oh, but what happened to you, dude? Haircut, normal clothes? Have you gone straight on me?
Man, I found true peace and happiness, Jerry.
No kidding. Where? How?
I joined a religious order, man. Eastern religion is where it's all at. You find yourself only when you deny yourself.
Yeah?
Yeah, man. I've learned to let go of material things that like drag you down. You should come to some of our classes, Jerry.
Well, maybe I will. The change in him was so startling that I began attending their classes. I had already given most of my possessions away in my personal search for truth, so I joined their group, working at their city missions. I studied Hindu writings and Hebrew mysticism.
Hey, what are you up to, Jerry?
Well, I'm writing my own paraphrased version of the New Testament.
Wow, man, pretty ambitious. How far along are you?
I'm about finished. I've been at it for 6 months now.
Hey, I'm impressed.
I want to understand this man, Jesus, and why he has so many followers.
He was a great avatar.
Yeah, but there's still so much I don't get.
It's a journey, my friend. That's all. It's a journey.
After 3 years, I saw the futility of this group, and I left and went back to Europe where our family had a villa on the French Riviera. I drove into the mountains and parked where I could see more than 100 miles. I knew there had to be a God who created this beauty, yet I was haunted by my inability to reach him. There was a wall between us, a wall I couldn't penetrate or climb. That was perhaps the saddest day of my life.
Very shortly, we'll hear how that would change for Jerry. When travel or work keeps you away from this program, you can still listen by going to our website, unshackled.org, and choose among hundreds of dramas online, many in Spanish. Just click on Listen Online and make your selection. At our website, you can also submit a prayer request or your own testimony for consideration as an Unshackled drama. You can order story booklets to use in personal evangelism or browse through the pictures of the new building under construction. You'll also find pictures of Unshackled being produced from years past to the present. There's a history of Pacific Garden Mission, a description of ways to get involved in helping the homeless, and best of all, a site that tells how to get to heaven. Now, we hope you'll visit our website soon, unshackled.org. For more information, just write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
Skiing was still my passion, had been for 20 years. I was on pro ski patrol in Flagstaff, Arizona, when a friend told me about a job with a chain of worldwide resorts. Because of my French, I was accepted. I sold everything, and they flew me to the island of Martinique, where I taught water skiing and became a master scuba diver. During a night dive, I decided to conquer all fear of darkness. I sat on the ocean floor, turning my back on the others, and turned off my light. My imagination soon had me scurrying to catch up to the other divers. When I told my mom's new husband about it and my adventurous lifestyle, his comments surprised me.
Sounds like an interesting job, Jerry.
Oh, I love it. Great food, actresses and models from all over the world. The water is 83 degrees and so clear. I go scuba diving every day.
When are you going to get serious about life, Jerry?
What for?
So you can have a successful career and stability.
In the past year, what was the most exciting experience you had?
I took a week's vacation in the tropics.
Oh, that's where I live 6 months a year. Why should I trade that to put on a suit every day and only get to be on an island for a week?
You just need to establish some roots in life.
I have roots. I just haven't found the right soil. I ignored my stepfather's advice and continued my life of summers in tropical resorts and winters of skiing the Swiss Alps. One day, as I drove up a mountainous terrain, I stopped. I could see more than 75 miles in each direction, and the beauty of creation engulfed me. Suddenly, I could feel the presence of God, the Creator, and I wanted to know Him. But there was that wall between us, and I didn't know anyone who could help me to get closer to Him. Later, I had to rescue the lost skier by going into an avalanche chute. I talked with a coworker about her.
So, how was that lady when you finally reached her?
Well, she was in very good spirits, oblivious to the danger.
Clueless, eh? What was her excuse?
She said she was afraid of crashing into the person in front, so she dropped back a little and then lost us completely. Didn't listen when I said follow closely.
Yeah, well, tonight we'll have to blast that snow.
Yeah. We could have been killed. In the early 80s, I came back to the U.S. and worked at resorts around Lake Tahoe. I skied avalanche chutes so steep they couldn't even hold snow until spring. I loved to accomplish what people said was impossible. Then I moved to Southern California and took a sales job with a partner that gave us lots of money. And in a few months, we could take 6 months off.
Hello.
Hi, Dad.
Jerry, how's everything?
Oh, quiet. I've been spending more time in my garden reading, philosophy, political science, theology. My racing days are winding down, Dad.
You'll find some other challenge.
No, not likely. Guy took me up in a biplane last week and did all kinds of tricky acrobatics. Afterward, I told him downhill racing is still a bigger thrill. I put an ad in the paper to sell my racing skis. A girl called, and soon she and her friends talked me into competing in some downhill races. Standing at the top of a 12,000-foot mountain one morning, the awesome creative power of God in nature was overwhelming, and that familiar longing to know the Creator of the world gripped me again. Who am I? Why do I exist? How can I know God? It was Easter morning, and suddenly I felt as though God was almost mocking me. You have the world by the tail, hotshot. You've been everywhere, done everything. But what does it mean, Jerry, if you don't know me? A year later, I still had no answers. I had more time off than I worked. I had a house, a boat, a truck, a fancy sports car, and many friends. Toys that couldn't fill the void in my heart. By this time, my longing to know God had increased. One weekend, I rode my motorcycle up the coast of San Francisco, back to see my New Age group for their Easter service. The music and words of Handel's Messiah performed during the service enhanced my longings to know God. It was almost overwhelming. Afterward, I spoke with one of the leaders.
Hey, how'd you like the program today?
I'd love the rendition of Handel's Messiah.
And the sermon about the resurrection?
Very thought-provoking.
You seem unsettled, Jerry.
I know God is out there. I've read many books about finding Him, but I'm no closer to Him.
Go back home and find a good church and attend it, Jerry.
Talk about disappointed. I was raised in the Jewish faith, had my bar mitzvah at 13, and wanted no part of it after that time. I had seen the big cathedrals in Europe and was very confused by the many denominations of churches around me. I rode back home on Monday, arriving at 10 o'clock. So tired, I headed straight for bed. But I decided to try and reach God, so I knelt and prayed. Dear God, if there is a church out there that you want me to go to, let me know which one, and I'll go. The next day, I made a cup of coffee and sat in my garden to read. At 10 o'clock, exactly 12 hours after my prayer, there was a knock at my door. Two women stood there, each with a Bible. They introduced themselves and invited me to visit their small church down the street on Sunday. I'll be there, I said. I was so excited that I could hardly constrain myself. I knew that God had responded to my prayer, and I was ready to meet Him. That church had God's approval sight unseen. On Sunday, I was there.
The Bible is God's word, his manual for life. The answers to all of life's questions can be found in its pages. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness."
Amen.
Read God's word daily for spiritual food. Don't rely on me or anyone else to spoon feed you, or you might be led astray. The world's full of counterfeit beliefs, but there is only one God and one Savior. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 24 proclaims, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself."
Amen.
No matter how successful you are in the world, if you don't know him, you are lost, and your life will be empty. Jesus said it this way, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?"
I had searched all over the world for that kind of spiritual authority, and I wanted to know the source. That week, the pastor came to my house, and I tried to impress him with my convoluted theology, but I soon forsook them for God's truth.
God is light, Jerry, but you can't see him. No man has ever seen God. But Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father."
How do I take on his power, his abilities?
You must be born again. Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God."
I try to live a good life, to obey Torah, but hey, no one is perfect. That's why we have the Day of Atonement, right?
God is holy. His standard is perfection. So what do you think a person must do to get to heaven?
Be perfect.
Ah, yes. God took our sins to the cross and exchanged them for the righteousness of his Son. Jesus reconciled us to God.
I'm beginning to see.
Do you believe that God sent Jesus to die for your sins? That's what the Bible says. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God."
What do I do, Pastor Dorman?
God made it very simple. Repent of your sins, confess that you are a sinner in need of his salvation, and surrender your life to Christ. Just ask him to save you.
With all my heart and soul, I prayed, putting my faith in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only payment for my sins acceptable to God. He is my substitute forever. That was 1983. Not long after I was baptized, I asked the pastor if I could give my witness sometime. He asked me to meet him at the church on Friday evening, which I did. We drove downtown to San Diego, parked and walked toward a long line of people waiting outside a theater.
Do you have your 10-minute message on salvation ready?
Yeah, but I thought I'd be speaking to Christians at the church.
Oh, these people are your congregation now. Tell them about Jesus, brother.
I gulped, nearly paralyzed with fear. As I stammered through the first few words, I began to see not a crowd of strangers, but lost souls condemned in their unbelief, and the Son of God hanging on the cross to save them. I told them with all of the passion of one who had been condemned to hell before I was saved, how to find peace with God through Jesus Christ. That summer, I asked an evangelist what I should do to serve God, and he told me to go to Bible college. So I forsook all of my worldly goals, began attending Bible college. I prayed earnestly for my father and stepmother's salvation before I visited, and played one of my pastor's preaching tapes.
The prophet Isaiah in chapter 53, verse 6 said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
All you have to do is repent. Turn from your sins and believe that Jesus died for you. Ask him to come into your heart and life.
Dad, is this something you think you would like to do?
Yes, son.
My mother also professed faith in Christ a few years later. I started a business to provide my financial need while in Bible college and graduated in 1986. I dated Gwen, a fellow student, and we married in 1985. In 1988, I earned a master's degree in pastoral theology at a seminary.
Jerry, haven't seen you in a while. What are you up to?
Oh, I've been writing about my search for meaning through sports.
Well, you sure have some stories to tell.
And now I see that every single one has relevance to our relationship with God.
For example?
Well, the skier who wandered into an avalanche chute because she didn't follow closely. We need to follow Christ closely too, or risk losing sight of him. Look at Peter. He followed Jesus afar off and ended up denying Christ.
That's true.
And the time I rescued that scuba diver who wouldn't throw off his weights? Too often Christians are like that too. The book of Hebrews tells us to lay aside every weight.
And run with patience the race that is set before us.
I'm still pondering the lessons I learned kayaking on the Colorado River.
That was a dangerous thing to do.
But I survived, because my father taught me to handle boats when I was young. And at the critical moment, I remembered his advice. Keep the bow into the waves.
He's a good father.
Yeah. The lessons we internalize as children become instinctive when we don't have time to think as adults.
Sound advice.
The only incident I'm unsure of is the time I sat on the ocean floor in the dark, fighting fear. I didn't win that one. Man, I began to imagine grotesque things coming at me with fangs and bulging eyes. I turned on my light and hightailed it back to the other divers.
Sounds like demons to me, Jerry. And that's the secret. Turn on the light of God's word. Demons love darkness, but will flee from his light.
Because their deeds were evil. Of course. God's lessons are everywhere.
You'll keep finding new lessons and new adventures, I'm sure of that.
I earned my PhD in 1992. There isn't time to tell all the adventures and lessons God taught me. Sailing through a storm with 10-foot waves on Lake Michigan, wreck diving off Marathon Key in Florida, and being frightened by a great white shark. God taught me spiritual lessons from all of these adventures and so many more, but some I'm sure I overlooked. So he's teaching them to me again, the second time around. The greatest thrill of my life is telling lost souls about the Savior, the truth that sets them free.
Do you know the truth, listening friend? The truth is God loves you and provided a way for you to have forgiveness and eternal life in heaven. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." All you have to do is turn to him in faith, because the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you need help in making this crucial decision, just get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago area, 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And visit our website to learn more about this ministry at unshackled.org. This is program number 2948. Heard in the true story of Jerry Kiefetz were Tim Gregory, Brad Armacost, David Zarbach, Patrick Edwards, Tom McElroy, and Jack Bivens. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nick Stalnos. Engineer, Ken Swanson. Script, Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. Area 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-922-1462.